KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have cloudy skies. It's windy, and we're at 54 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy, windy, and warmer today with a high of 72, with winds out of the southwest at 15 to 25, gusting up to around 40 this afternoon. There is an elevated fire danger today due to the low humidity and the strong gusty winds. We currently have winds out of the southwest at around 25 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Mills County Sheriff's Office on Friday reported that a Red Oak man was arrested Wednesday on drug and weapons charges. Deputies arrested 48-year-old Floyd Raymond Henry for possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver. Also a concealed weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, and drug stamp criminal penalties. His bond was set at $17,000. The Harlan Police Department Friday issued on social media a reminder to all residents that they need to make sure their building numbers, or address numbers if you will, are on their houses. Harlan City Code requires building numbers be visible. Authorities say the numbering is extremely important, for without them there can be a significant delay in getting emergency services to your house. Fire, ambulance, and law enforcement rely on the numbering to get you the quickest emergency services possible. A delay in not being able to locate the correct house has the potential to be disastrous. The Harlan PD says it is every homeowner's responsibility to have the numbers clearly visible from the street. And if you're a renter, check your house and contact your landlord if the address numbers are missing. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Friday signed a new proclamation continuing the public health disaster emergency for another 30 days. The proclamation extends all the public health mitigation measures currently in place for businesses and other establishments until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, November 15th. This includes the requirements for bars and restaurants to ensure 6 feet of physical distance between each group or individual dining or drinking, to ensure all patrons have a seat at a table or a bar and consume alcohol or food while seated, and to limit congregating together closer than 6 feet. Requirements for social distancing, hygiene, and other public health measures to reduce the risk of transmission also remain in place for gyms, casinos, salons, theaters, and other establishments. The proclamation also extends the suspension of weight limits for transportation of agricultural supplies and commodities on state highways for the continued fall harvest. And it extends many of the previously issued regulatory relief measures necessary to respond to the public health disaster, including those related to health care, professional licensure, educational workforce, and expirations of driver's licenses. The proclamation now remains in effect, as I mentioned, until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, November 15th. The full proclamation can be read in its entirety through a link in this story on the news page at KJAN.com. The state of Iowa's coronavirus dashboard indicates that from 10 a.m. Friday through 7 a.m. today, there have been 1,317 new positive test results for COVID-19 returned from the labs, for a total of 105,864 since the beginning of the pandemic. There are also three more deaths for a total of 1,524. One more death was reported in Pottawatomie County for a total there of 44 since the pandemic began. And the IDPH says 1,022 of the total deaths are being attributed to a pre-existing condition. There are nine more positive cases of the virus in Cass County for a total of 276. Across the listing area, there are 62 more positive cases in Pottawatomie County, nine more in Harrison County, seven new cases in Mills County, five more cases in Madison County, and less than five new cases in each of Adams, Audubon, Guthrie, Montgomery, Shelby, and Union counties. You can see the data county by county in this same story on the news page. There have also been a total of 892,896 Iowans tested for COVID-19 to date, with 785,418 total negative results of those. There have been 7,144 results received since 10 a.m. on Friday, with 6,171 of those coming back negative and 965 positive. Officials say 11.9% of persons tested had a positive test result. Iowans who have recovered from the virus amount to 81,462. Health officials say as of today, hospitalizations continue to slowly decline. 461 people are hospitalized with COVID-19 symptoms. That's down from 468 on Friday. 104 patients with COVID-19 are in an intensive care unit. 55 people with COVID symptoms were admitted to a hospital compared to 66 yesterday. And 46 patients were on a ventilator. That's two less than previous. Western and Southwest Iowa hospitals report 28 people hospitalized, 9 in an ICU, 3 admitted to a hospital, and 1 individual is on a ventilator. There were none yesterday. There are 63 long-term care facility outbreaks in Iowa. That's 2 more than we reported on Friday, with 1,509 positive cases of COVID-19 among the patients and staff at those facilities. LTC facilities also report 620 persons have recovered from the virus, and there have been 765 deaths since the outbreak began. Well, this week's White House Coronavirus Task Force report puts Iowa in its red zone for new infections. The rate of new COVID cases here is twice the national average. Governor Kim Reynolds says Iowans need to monitor what's going on in their communities.
We really need to focus. We know that the most vulnerable Iowans and older Iowans, 65 and over, and those Iowans with pre-existing conditions are the ones that are most at risk.
The state's coronavirus website shows as of this morning there are COVID outbreaks at 63 Iowa nursing homes, as we mentioned, two more than on Friday. And for the past 10 days, the total number of COVID patients in Iowa hospitals has been higher than at any other point in the pandemic, although fewer patients are winding up in intensive care units.
The same thing applies today that applied when we had our first cases of COVID-19 in the state of Iowa. And that is to stay home when you're sick, social distance when you can. If you can't, make sure you have a face covering and wash your hands often. If you're a vulnerable Iowan, you need to take extra precautions.
This week's White House Coronavirus Task Force warns that cases are increasing in Iowa due to social gatherings of families and friends. It specifically classified the cities of Carroll, Council Bluffs, Dubuque, Pella, Sioux City, Spencer, Spirit Lake, and Storm Lake as red zone areas. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. Diane Ernst, age 66 of Adair, died August 29th at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Diane Ernst are set for 11 a.m. today at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Anita Godwin, age 96 of Exira, died October 8th at Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Anita Godwin will be today at 11 a.m. in the Exira Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Larry Henkel, age 75 of Earlham, died October 10th at the VA Central Iowa Health System in Des Moines. Public graveside services for Larry Henkel will be today at 11 a.m. at the Earlham Cemetery, with full military graveside rites conducted by the Earlham American Legion Post No. 158. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Edwin Chapin, age 87, who's formerly of Panama, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. A massive Christian burial for Edwin Chapin will be today at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lydia Anderson, age 101 of Blair, Nebraska, and formerly of Exira, died Monday in Blair. Graveside services for Lydia Anderson will be today at 3 o'clock at the Bethany Lutheran Cemetery northeast of Kimbleton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. A mask will be required at the graveside service and visitation. Gary Lee Stearns, age 80 of Audubon, died Thursday at Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Gary Stearns will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Donna Eslick, age 89 of Atlantic, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Donna Eslick will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Gary Glenn Reed, age 83 of Stewart, died October 12th at the Stewart Community Care Center. A celebration of life for Gary Reed will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. The services will be live streamed on the funeral home's Facebook page. Mark Tecumseh Clayson, age 20 of the Oakland Manor, died October 8th at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial visitation for Mark Clayson will be held on October 24th from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Reacon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen.